You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour. It is your radio podcast friend, Alex Mearns, and my little mate in the corner. Who's that guy? Oh, it's Dom Betts. Welcome to The Football Hour. Chelsea Champions Special. Dom, do you remember when Brendan Rodgers was Liverpool manager and they were going for the title and the Liverpool fans used to sing that song, wasn't it? And now you're going to believe us, and now you're going to believe us, and now you're going to believe us. We're going to win the league. Honestly, Chelsea fans, I'd get singing it now. I would get singing it now. Wouldn't you?
It's not we're going to win the league, it's we've won the league.
We've basically won the league. I've sort of given up looking at the first position now, Dom. I see the Premier League table as sort of from 2nd to 20th. Chelsea are like a team on FIFA. That he's just a guy on his own, just playing because he's so much better than anyone else. It's firstly slightly annoying, but it's also very impressive, Dom. I want to ask a question about a player that doesn't even start in their starting 11. It's sort of a question I don't think anyone's ever asked at all before. John Terry. Is it fine to like John Terry?
It's never fine to like John Terry. I just don't like him as a human.
But you say as a human, I see spurts of light, of very, like, nice personality. Like, I watched an interview with him with Steven Gerrard. He was nice. He was really nice.
He came across nice, but you can't hide the fact of some of the things he's been accused of.
Yeah, I guess that thing with Anton Ferdinand wasn't nice. He got accused of that. He got accused of a thing with his teammate. So you can't exactly say that. But there was a long time ago. Is he a changed man?
No, I was just born to not like him.
Okay, let's get on.
That was my calling in life.
I just wanted to ask about John Terry. I just thought I'd ask a question that no one's ever asked before. Is John Terry a nice man? He's at the Football Hour if you want to tweet us saying yes or no, John's a nice guy. Dom, they're 9 points clear in the league. As I say, it's sort of wrapped up. It was an incredible draw at Anfield on Tuesday. I thought they had it pretty easy. They went there for a draw. If they could get the win, they could get it win. They went there so much for the draw, Dom, that Diego Costa missed a penalty and let Simon Mignolet save it. Mignolet saved a penalty. That's how much Chelsea was after a draw. It was a great performance, wasn't it?
I thought Chelsea were really poor in the game.
So harsh. You just stop being nice.
I thought they were really poor.
First 20 minutes, they soaked up pressure like you soak up lager on an away day with Fulham. And then I think there was a throw-in. It went out for a throw-in. And Dom, it was like the game completely changed. Anfield's atmosphere dropped. It was electric, wasn't it? It was really good. And then I thought Chelsea were in control.
I mean, the game was in control, but I didn't think they played well.
Right.
Liverpool just weren't clinical enough with their chances for me.
Well, if we're going to stay on Chelsea, how impressive is that? They're not even having one of their best days. And they still get the result they wanted. Go on, say one nice thing.
I don't think that's the result they wanted.
Why? They're 9 points clear. Maybe not. When Conte got his iPhone out, flicked on live scores, he probably checked his bets first, checked live scores and saw Arsenal lost to Watford, Tottenham couldn't beat bottom of the table Sunderland, and, well, the next day Manchester United, well, they're not in the title race, so I'm not even going to say about their result, but it what a week for them.
If they beat Arsenal on Saturday, then yeah. It's a perfect week if they beat Arsenal on Saturday.
But even if they lose, they're 6 points clear. Six. Let's ask that question. Are they going to lose on Saturday?
No, because they're playing Arsenal on Stamford Bridge.
Well, there we are.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, right, drawing at, let's say, Anfield and winning against Arsenal on Stamford Bridge isn't a perfect week. Obviously, a perfect week's beating both teams. Yeah, I think they work really poor on Tuesday.
All right.
Liverpool should have been a lot more clinical.
I don't understand your reasoning behind it. They're so poor.
Because
there was a player at the
because of how well I've seen them play this season.
But it was a perfect away performance. It was a perfect away performance, Dom.
Well, it's not because they didn't win.
But they didn't have to win.
I know they didn't have to win, but it's not a perfect away performance, is it?
No, but you were full of praise for Jose Mourinho at the start of the season when his Man United team went to Chelsea and got a draw. We look back now and they needed to get a win, but Chelsea didn't. Chelsea are in a position where they could draw the next three games and still maybe be top of the league.
I just can't see Conte going into a game and looking to not win.
Right, okay. They had a player at the back. I thought he retired a few years ago, Dom. Carlos Puyol. Did you see him? Was it like a Legends game on Tuesday? Was Carlos Puyol allowed to play? Was he like a FIFA Legends?
Well, I don't remember Carlos Puyol pinging a free kick in 35 yards.
That's what I wanted to come on to. Was Tuesday David Luiz's transition from Sideshow Bob to Carlos Puyol?
Not really, no, because I've seen him score goals like that all the time.
No, but I mean his defensive performance.
But he played like that defensively all season.
I know, but wasn't it great that the whole country was watching on Tuesday because it was a massive game? Was it finally the underlining of England going, David Luiz is a clown? Because he's not. He's clearly a world-class defender.
He did play great, but I wouldn't say this game he's played a lot better than he has before. I think he played as well as he had all season.
I just saw the connection with Carlos Puyol because it was raining at Anfield, and he's big. What is it called? Like,
it's not an afro. It's just.
It's sort of like it's sort of afro-ish, though, isn't it? It's sort of up, not down. But the rain sort of made his hair go down like Carlos Puyol, and the way he was playing was incredibly like Puyol. So, fair play to you, David Luiz. I thought you were incredible. Let's talk about the thing that wasn't Carlos Puyol-esque. His free kick. Everyone's saying Mignolet should have been in a better position, could have saved it. Mignolet could have been stood on the post it hit, and he still wouldn't save it. It was an incredible free kick.
It's an incredible free kick, but you've got to ask, what is Mignolet doing? He's not even ready when a free kick's taken. And he starts complaining to the referee, and I'm like, why? The referee blew the whistle. It's an amazing free kick, which shouldn't have been a free kick in the first place anyway.
Yeah, talk about that.
Well, Lallana and Hazard are running in together.
Yeah.
Hazard just leans into Lallana and falls over. I can see why Clattenburg's given... Was it Clattenburg?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see why Clattenburg's given it, because from his view, it looks like coming together and Lallana's taking Hazard's legs away, but that just clearly hasn't happened. So yeah, it wasn't a free kick, but you can't take away from what an absolute thunderstrike it is.
I thought that was an incredible spot, though. I thought Hazard is a very intelligent player with them sort of fouls. Because, as we say, in the first 20 minutes, it was all Liverpool. And all it took was Hazard to nip past Lallana and get in front of him. And it's almost like he stops and starts like an old car. Do you know what I mean? He goes for 1 minute and then he slows his body down, leaves his legs behind him. And Adam Lallana is... He's running at full pelt to try and get back and just clips him. And for all the world, it looks like it's a foul, but it wasn't, Dom. It was a good spot by yourself. Well done, mate.
And also, like, my problem with Mignolet, this free kick, right? His job is to sort his wall out. That's it. He doesn't need to be telling his other defenders where they should be. That should be the captain or whoever's the leader in that wall, defending the free kicks, or whether that's Jordan Henderson or one of the centre-halves. They should be doing that. Once he's got his wall focus, he needs to focus on his position.
Was the free kick so far out that it was hard to control that wall? It was almost... The wall was sort of 23 yards in front of him.
And also, to be fair, if Jordan Henderson just doesn't duck, it doesn't go in. Because the ball goes over Jordan Henderson's head, and he ducks, and then it goes in. If Jordan Henderson just does his job and jumps...
Are footballers soft in walls, do you think?
I think some are, to be honest.
Why? The Football Hour campaign to make walls walls. We're almost the Donald Trump of the podcast world.
It was sort of like when, I think, Scholes was playing for England.
Right.
Macedonia had a corner. Do you remember when they scored directly from the corner?
No.
I think it was like around 2002-ish, around that sort of time period.
Amazing memory, Dom.
And then the corner comes in.
Right.
Scholes is at the back post, and he just ducks, and the ball goes over his head and in straight from the corner. It was a bit like that. Like, why are you ducking? You're a wall.
If Paul Scholes is listening, I bet he must have been thinking, I'm going to be fine here. It's a Liverpool podcast, Chelsea podcast. They're going to be having a go at them teams. You've had a go at Paul Scholes. I like that. Dom, this is a strange question. But we see so many stats online. There was a stat that N'Golo Kante has made more tackles in his first 2 years in England than any other player in 3 years. He made 14 tackles on Tuesday against Liverpool. That was more than the whole of the Leicester team versus Burnley. Is N'Golo Kante better than Claude Makélélé? He's thinking, listener. I can see his
brain
ticking.
I'm going to say no.
Oh, okay.
Because he hasn't won enough yet. I think a player, you can be great, but a great player also wins a lot of stuff. Yes, he's probably going to win two leagues in a row, but Makélélé won. pretty much everything there is to win. And I think that's what makes a player big and the greatest. I think he's getting to that level, and if he continues to win trophies with Chelsea, then yeah, he will possibly overtake Makélélé. And I think it was absolutely farcical that he didn't get in the team of the year. How? I know Kroos, Modric, Iniesta are great players, but N'Golo Kanté is basically taking two teams to the title.
He's basically two teams in one body. He's incredible. His body's quite small. I was watching The Hobbit. This is a weird connection, dog. I was watching The Hobbit, and right, so I think it's 12 dwarfs take Bilbo Baggins to be their thief, right? A lot of people, you know the concept of The Hobbit. So they get Bilbo Baggins to be the thief, to go into the... Is it like the Dragon's Cave or something?
Yeah, yeah. It's the second film, I think.
Yeah, to get in the Dragon's Cave to get something back, or like some gold thing. Anyway, N'Golo Kanté is Bilbo Baggins. He is the tiny little thief from like very poor background. Like, no one knew who Bilbo Baggins was, Dom, until he got that... I didn't even know what he got, so I should have done some bit more research. I wasn't watching the film, I was probably scrolling through Twitter. But he's like, the way he goes and gets a ball, the other midfielder can't even hear him coming, can't see him coming. And what he does, he sort of like gets his head and shoulder between the body and the ball, and he's like, see ya, got it. He should wear a bloody balaclava. That's what he should wear. He's an incredible player, Dom. Is this title race over?
If they win on Saturday lunchtime, then yes. I think it's over already,
okay.
But if they win on Saturday, it's 100% over, because I say they can't win because the three teams chasing them are three absolute bottlers. Tottenham, they finished third in a two-horse race. Arsenal haven't won the league in 12, 13 years. Liverpool was Liverpool.
Right.
They haven't won the league since it was even the Premier League. So they have technically won the league already because, yeah, three absolute bottlers are chasing them.
It would be incredible if they didn't win the league from here. So,
and the only team I could see winning it who's not Chelsea is Man City.
Okay, all right.
And they're sitting in fifth.
Right, what I'm going to do, Dom, is ask for a score prediction in the Arsenal game. If you do it wrong, I'm going to make you do an impression of maybe Arsene Wenger or something. You've got to start the podcast. You will do my job. Hello and welcome to the Football Hour. I am Dom Betts. But you've got to do it in an Arsene Wenger impression. Okay?
That's fine.
Is that fine?
Yeah, because Arsenal aren't winning this game.
Well, you've got to get the prediction right. You've got to get the score right. So what are you going for?
3-0 Chelsea.
If you get it right and I get it wrong, what do I have to do?
The way you have to start the podcast...
Right.
You have to do an Arsenal fan TV style rant.
Of Arsenal?
Yeah.
I love that we're all thinking that. Okay, so what's the scoreline going to be?
I said 3-0 Chelsea.
3-0 Chelsea. Right.
If they defend like they did against Watford in the first half, it'll be about 8.
I'm going to go 1-1.
You really think they can get a point here?
I just think... Yeah, yeah. Arsenal are going to be so up for it because of their loss to Watford, but they're not going to be good enough to win it.
I think they were probably up for that 6-0 before the game.
Okay. Right, so...
I just say that just because Arsenal don't fill me with confidence from a defensive point of view.
All right, mate.
And if they play someone like... If they play Lucas Perez, they've lost the game.
Why?
He doesn't track back. And Chelsea's wing-backs could exploit that massively.
Okay. All right, that is Arsenal versus Chelsea at the Bridge on Saturday afternoon. You're probably going to listen to this podcast after the game, so you probably already know that Chelsea won. If you have Twitter, which most people have now, is 2017.
Even my dad does, so I mean...
Your dad does Twitter, mate. The podcast is on Twitter. It's at The Football Hour. Go and follow us and tweet us your score predictions for Arsenal versus Chelsea. Are Chelsea going to win it? Are Arsenal going to win it? What's the score going to be? If you get it right, we'll read you out on the podcast. If you get it wrong, we're probably going to read you out on the podcast anyway. So follow us at The Football Hour. If you're listening on iTunes, right, this podcast is free. Freedom. How many things in life do you get free? Sky TV, you got to pay for that. Your phone, you've got to pay for that. Tubes, trains. That wall Donald Trump's building, someone's paying for that. We're all paying for something. But you... are not paying for this podcast. It's free. It's completely free. I know it's not the best podcast in the world because we all know Desert Island Discs is. Desert Island Discs is amazing, by the way. Did you listen to the David Beckham one?
I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh,
no.
Mate, run a bath, put some candles on, get a bit of shower gel in that bath, get us some bubbles going, put Desert Island Discs on, and then if you finish that, if the bath's still warm, put the Football Hour on. So what was I saying? Yeah, please give us a review on iTunes. Please, it really helps us get up the chart. We want to be going toe-to-toe with Desert Island Discs. They're tearing away with the podcast league like Chelsea in the Premier League. So, two things. Follow us on Twitter. Give us a review on iTunes. Simple. Simple. Have a great weekend. Have a great week. Wherever you are in the world, be happy because the Football Hour is back. Dumb Bets, thank you.
It's all right.
Listener, I love you. I thank you. Goodbye. I am Alex Mearns. I'm saying au revoir.